Okay, so today is February 24th, and we are in the Healing Circle. And I want to welcome all of you, and even those of you that aren't listening to the live call now with us, but will be listening to the replay. So just know that because you have already linked in through purchasing this class, whether you're on the class or the call or not, or you are on the call and then listen to the replay, you'll have the benefit of everything that's coming through. So whatever energetic transmissions are coming through, whatever light codes need to be activated, whatever downloads, you just know that you're going to experience all of that, right? And so each time you listen to the replay on this, because you will get the recording of the replay within 24 to 48 hours, you'll also have the benefit of activating whatever else, right? So it goes in stages when we activate our light codes and integrate them into our physical form. It's just like anything else, right? It's the layers or peeling an onion, so to speak, right? That's what I used to use years and years ago. So again, I'm going to just say this. So if there's stuff here that you're not used to hearing about, which could very well be the case, and you find yourself going into resistance, right? You're feeling your body wanting to push away at it, or you're starting to feel anxious from it. It just means that those codes, that information, that intel that's within your physical form, that's in your energetic body, is waking up. That's what that is, okay? And so if you find yourself feeling some resistance or agitated or anxious, just know that that's your energetic body, your light body, your higher self. All of that is actually waking up. And the best thing that you can do is to just close your eyes, tune into your heart center, and just take a couple of nice breaths into your heart. And that resistance will begin to release as you are going into a state of allowing, which will then allow you to participate with ease and grace, right? Because sometimes we're activating aspects within ourselves, and we might not know that we're doing that, and we're just feeling the resistance. And then, you know, right away the ego chatter wants to come in, and the ego wants to say, hey, don't listen to her. You know, what she's saying is not resonating, it's not making sense. And that's the ego's job, right? That the ego has two jobs that it's very good at. The first one is to protect us when we're about to make a mistake or do something that could be a detriment to us, right? And the other part of it is to keep us stuck in the karmic loop cycle of the third dimensional field of existence, right? So we want to just quiet down the ego mind and just allow ourselves to just participate in this freely. And so because we are going to take this up, right? We're going to be in more of a fifth dimensional consciousness. So for those of you that were in the soul contracts class, it's going to be the same type of information coming through. See, it's coming through so fast, I can't even speak. Today, what we're going to do is this class is my passion, because it's how I really came into myself. And if you want to use the word awakening, you could say that that was how it happened for me. Although I was awake at 4, I had a more intensified awakening in 2000 when I got sick for the first time with cancer. And so, you know, when we are facing a challenge that's a health issue, no matter what it is, it could be something very insignificant or it could be something very traumatic in our life, right? And because we are sensitive beings, no matter what it is, it's going to feel traumatic to you, right? If you stub your toe and your toe feels like it's broken to you, you're going to be quite upset, going like, oh my God, I stubbed my toe. I think I broke it. Right? We hear people do that all the time. And yet, like 2 days later, they're running around and you're like, hey, I thought you broke your toe. And they're like, oh yeah, no, it's okay. right? But in that moment, it was very traumatic, right? So we have to take everything into account for what is playing out in our reality, all right? So what I want to do is I want to connect us in before we go into the class in a collective way. So I'm just going to ask you all to just sit back, close your eyes, I'm closing my eyes too. And I want you to begin by just taking some breaths in through your nose, out through your mouth, just gently breathing in and out. Not any kind of regulated speed, just breathing in and out as you are listening to the sound of my voice. And as you are breathing in and out, listening to the sound of my voice, you are activating an aspect of you that is allowing your higher self to step forth. And I want you to just breathe that in. And as you're breathing in this awareness of yourself operating from the perspective of the higher self, I want you to now begin focusing on your heart center. And as you are breathing in and out, focusing on your heart center, I want you to imagine that the next breath that you take in, you're actually taking in through your heart center, and you're going to blow that breath right down through your chakra pillars all the way down to the soles of your feet. And imagine that breath going right out into the soles of your feet, right through Gaia, and Gaia catching it with love, grace, and ease. And on that next breath in that you take, I want you to breathe in again through your heart center. And this time, as you breathe in through your heart center, I want you to imagine shooting that breath right up through the chakra pillars, going up through the crown of your head. And just let that breath go all the way up as high as it can go. If you imagine you're going to 12th dimension with that breath, then so be it. If you imagine you're going to the Godhead with that breath, so be it. So let's do that one more time. Let's take a nice breath in through the heart center, and we're going to blow it down through the chakra pillars, all the way down through the soles of your feet and out through Gaia. And now on the next breath in through your heart center, I want you to take that breath and I want you to blow it right up into your crown, all the way up, 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 as high as you can go, wherever you feel comfortable, and let that breath rest. And let's do that one more time, except this time as you breathe in through your heart center, I want you to imagine splitting the breath and split it and send some of it down through the lower chakra pillars and the other half up through the higher chakra pillars, and just split it. And now let's do that one more time, and just taking that nice breath in right through the heart center and splitting that breath, clearing those channels, clearing the pathways, bringing yourself present in the awareness of your body that you have just cleared, balanced, and aligned through your own personal breath work. And I want you to stay here for just a second. And as you are in this space, I want you to tune into your physical form. And I want you to do a check and see how your body is responding. Are you feeling your body vibrating? Are you feeling your body relaxed? Just allow yourself to do a quick check on how your body is feeling. Knowing that you are always in control of the experience that you are having. That is your birthright as an ascended master coming in as a divine co-creator with your universe. And I just want you to breathe that in. Taking in that awareness that you are everything and everything is you. and there is nothing that you could possibly need outside of you, because you are everything. And just breathe that in. And as a matter of fact, let's run a breath on that. So as I am saying that you are everything, I want you to breathe in through your heart center. So you are breathing in through your heart center. You are everything. There is nothing outside you need. And split that breath and send it down through the chakra pillars and up through your crown. There is nothing that you need, because you are everything. Because everything is you. And just let yourself rest right there. Now feel that shift in your body. Feel the energy field of your body. And now bring your awareness back into your heart center. And as you bring your awareness back into your heart center, I want you to allow yourself to merge back into your physical form, becoming one again with your physical form, feeling into your body, and with your body feeling into the seat you are sitting in. And feeling into the room that you are residing in. And now, as you tune into the sound of my voice, allow yourself to begin to come back into the awareness of the all that is you. And when you are ready to return, you may open your eyes and be present. So welcome back. So the first thing that we're going to talk about in this class is why we're here in the physical body and how that relates to illness and ultimately healing. And so we came in as ascended masters, as you heard me say in your meditation, for the purpose of Source knowing itself in a multitude of ways, using the archetypal personalities, and then allowing itself to play in the field of duality and polarity. And upon entering into the field of polarity and duality, it was not meant for us to suffer in human physical form. It just wasn't, right? That wasn't part of what we were coming in to do. It just happens to be a byproduct of what we are experiencing as we are trying to navigate our mental body and our emotional body. And so, in our experience of being physical, we as ascended masters, as aspects of Source energy coming into the physical form, wanted to understand what else there was aside from the love and compassion and joy and more highly elevated emotions that were felt in 5D and beyond. And so we were created along with Gaia and the sun, right? So if you've taken my classes in the past, you heard me say that Solaris, the sun, is actually a projector for the great central sun, which is in the middle of the galaxy. And so if you think of it from that perspective, And Gaia also being a soul that chose to participate, except chose to become a planet, right? Because all planets are souls, right? They're souls that reincarnated to take the experience on of being a planet. Asteroids are also souls that have chosen to participate in that way so we could have the full experience of the universe that we are operating within. And so if you look at Gaia, Gaia's experience is very organic and very unique as being a planet that can allow others to inhabit it. And so our physical bodies are actually an aspect of Gaia. And if you could think about it from the perspective that we have rented them and they are on loan to us from Gaia, which is why when our soul is done with this physical form and decides to depart the earth, this physical form goes back into where it came from, right? So otherwise it would stay around forever and ever and ever, but it wasn't created to do that. It was created to go back into Gaia, to merge with Gaia, to become one with Gaia, right? And probably centuries ago, that was how it really worked, because when someone departed their physical form, there was a burial that took place, and it enabled the body to go back in and kind of compost into Gaia as it decomposed. But now we have gotten so creative and so ingenious with our creativity and our ideas that we've created different ways and means of protecting the body so that the body doesn't have to do that, right? So if you think about it from that perspective, we all came here to be a participant of this experience on Gaia through the reincarnation process, through the third dimension, which was where we've all come from. And that third dimension held duality and polarity. And from the perspective of third dimension through fourth dimension through fifth dimension, third dimension has incredible density to it, where the other dimensions don't have that kind of density. That's why there's polarity and duality in third dimension. So having these energies, the duality and polarity of third dimension, it gives us the opportunity to experience more than just joy, because if we're in third dimension and there is polarity and duality and the field is a dense field, then if we can have joy, we can also have grief. And if we can have anger, we can also have happy. And if we have good, we can have bad and right and wrong and so on and so on, right? So this is one of the things that has enabled us to have these experiences with our emotional body through our mental body, right? So to go back to the basics, if you think about the thoughts, our thoughts are electric. So it's like the spark of a car. When your thoughts ignite, your thoughts start to run like a marathon runner or a sprinter, right? And your thoughts are very light and they go very far and very fast. But your emotional body is a little heavier and can't keep up with the thoughts. It's more like I've mentioned in the past, the guide showed me a sumo wrestler. And the sumo wrestler can't run like that sprinter can run. So the sumo wrestler takes a lot longer and it's a lot harder journey for that individual to run, right? So think about your emotional body trying to keep up with your mental body. It's very, very hard. Your thoughts are out there in, you know, the future somewhere, and your emotional body is struggling to keep up. And this is an important part of illness and why we get sick. And then later we'll talk about how we can heal, right? So when we are out of balance with those thoughts and emotions, we know it. We see it every day, right? People that have anxiety are people that have thoughts that are focused mainly in the future, worrying about the future. What's tomorrow going to bring? And it doesn't have to be like years and years into the future. It could be hours into the future, right? Oh, what am I going to have for dinner? Oh, wait, I just had dinner tomorrow. Tomorrow's Tuesday. What am I going to, I don't know, what should I do tomorrow, right? And they're too focused on worrying about the next day instead of staying in the present moment. That creates tremendous anxiety, right? There's a friction. So if you think about it, thoughts are that snap, that spark, that's electric, that's out there, it's the sprinter, and they're often running, right? And then the emotions, that heavy sumo wrestler trying to catch up, so we're out of balance, and there's a disparity between the two, and then we get that shaking in the body. It affects the heart center, it affects the whole body in general, and it turns into the manifestation of anxiety, right? And then we see the opposite, where that sumo wrestler is really doing a good job at holding that sprinter back. He's got him in like a lock, right? And he's locked that sprinter down. And now he's trying to drag that sprinter backwards into the past. And so think about that. That sumo wrestler is trying to hold on to the sprinter, which represents your thoughts. And now your emotions want to bring you into your past. So it's got that sumo wrestler and they're walking backwards and it's very uncomfortable. How many of you have tried to walk backwards when you were navigating something, not being able to see where you were going, right? It's very uncomfortable to move backwards, but yet that's what our emotional body does when we're attached to things in the past. So in one sense, our thoughts are out in the future, we're looking at anxiety. And when our thoughts are in the past, we're looking at depression. Because the emotions want us to attach to something that is no longer physically in our reality, right? We can't attach to it because it's no longer present for us. There is nothing for us to put the emotion towards. So what happens is, as we're thinking about the past, our body is trying to conjure up that emotional memory that it remembers. That's what creates depression. Okay. So just in that same likeness, now think about it from this perspective. If you, and this is really so important to just take in, if you are having a thought over and over and over again, you are certainly creating an emotion to go with that thought without your awareness, because your body, all of our bodies, do such an amazing job of creating emotions, right? And so even if you don't want that emotion, guess what? Your body is going to create it because it's become a factory. It knows how to create things, right? It creates insulin for the pancreas, it creates bile for the gallbladder, it creates tears. I mean, you name it, it creates it, right? We have all kinds of different little elements, hormones, I won't go too into it, but like, think about all of those things. Your body creates it. Not once do you ever have to say, hey, we need more insulin, gotta create that, or hey, we need more bile, we need more. Right? So you're not really telling your body to do that, yet it's doing it on its own. So it's the same with emotions. If you think about it from this perspective, once you've created a thought and that thought has manifested an emotion via your body, you can see how that thought coming up will almost always certainly have that same emotion, right? That's where we get into trouble. That's how we can create illness in the body. And that is also why it's so hard to heal. Okay? So one of the most important things to be aware of is that when we're in a negative state of self-talk and we have thoughts here and we have emotions here and we keep thinking that same thought and that same emotion, the thought comes in, boom, the emotion magnetizes to it, right? Because emotions are magnetic, thoughts are electric, emotions magnetic. Thought comes in, thought is electric, creates the need for the magnetized emotion. They link together, right? They keep doing this. It's called a stronghold belief, right? So we create a stronghold belief, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, it becomes part of your reality, right? I hear this all the time with people, well, whether I work with them or not, or see them on the street or in the store or whatever. But I hear, you know, somebody will do something and they're like, oh my God, I'm so stupid, right? That in itself is a really bad thing to do, because that's a manifestation. So that's a belief system that is feeding a lack program, and that lack program is all about worthiness and deservedness, right? So if you are constantly telling yourself, oh my God, I'm so stupid. Why didn't I know that? Why didn't I do that? Why didn't I see that? Right? How many of you do that over and over again, right? I know I used to be guilty of it too, until I realized that was not in my best interest to do that, and I stopped doing it, right? So think about it from that perspective. So we're talking about something very simple here, right? Where you're calling yourself stupid, and it doesn't seem like it's very important, but it is important, because it plays into another aspect of that whole worth issue and deservedness, which also brings up the elements of shame and guilt, right? How could I not known? I should have done a better job, right? So if you think about it from the perspective of something that is taking place in your reality, so let's take cancer, right? So none of us, there's not one of us on this call that doesn't know somebody that's had cancer, right? Because that it's just that prevalent all over the place, right? So I could speak to this because I encountered it, and I'm not going to go into my experience deeply, but I'm just going to give you an idea of how this works, and then we're going to take this a little deeper. So let's take cancer, right? Now, cancer for me is about shame. It carries a lot of guilt with it for a lot of different reasons, right? And every cancer is going to be different where it manifests in the body. But let me show you so how those thoughts and those emotions will then take something and manifest it. And we're going to use cancer as the example in this scenario. So if we, and I'm going to give you two different examples here. So first example, so let's say that someone is married, the marriage relationship is not a great relationship, not physically satisfying, sexually satisfying, the whole thing. And then let's say it's a female, and the male goes and cheats on the female, right? And it's to nobody's fault, and there's no judgment held here, because it's what needed to be experienced in that scenario, okay? And so the female leaves the marriage, and then not thinking, gets right into another situation and ends up in another marriage. And the same dynamic happens where, because these relationships are very karmic in nature, it doesn't work out again. And then leaves, disembarks that relationship. And then a month after leaving, let's say, finds out that they have cancer, and it happens to be cervical cancer, right? Which is vaginal. So now we have a dynamic that's manifested. We're seeing this playing out with the state of New York wanting to make Gardasil shots mandatory for the children these days and everything, right? So if you look at it from the perspective of Gardasil wouldn't exist if there was no cervical cancer, right? And so if we look at it from the experience of what took place here, along those two relationships, that female was saying to herself, I must be unworthy of love. I must not be deserving of a loving relationship. There must be something wrong with me, that this person doesn't want to be with me, that doesn't want to be intimate with me, right? And that brings up the worthiness and deservedness. It also brings up shame. It brings up guilt at not being maybe more desirable, right? Feeling the shame. And the next thing you know, these thoughts, right? The thought that I'm not good enough, and now feeling the grief and the emotional sadness that goes with this. Well, both instances, the dynamic of the intimacy in the relationship was not there. So where's the focus going to be regarding this anomaly, whether it's cancer or anything else? It's going to be lower. It's going to be root chakra, because it's about survival. But if you think about it from the perspective of where this female was not feeling good about herself and kept the self-talk reinforced, right? Reinforcing her own bad self-talk, it ended up vaginally, because that was the targeted place of the thought that kept coming up, and then the emotion that interlocked with that thought and brought it into the body, right? Everybody thinks that illness starts in the body. It doesn't. It starts outside of the body, okay? So those, that thought that is being thought and that emotion that is being created has to come through all of the layers of your aura to the last layer of the aura, which is the etheric field, and then burn through that etheric field, which is closest to the physical body, and then enter through that field. And once it enters through the field of the physical body, then it becomes a physical anomaly. Now, there might be warnings beforehand, right? There could have been cervical dysplasia or any kind of cramping or discomfort, something that would have been different out of the norm, right, to take it there. But in regardless of what else was playing out or the earlier part of it, the part of the experience, the warning signs, if you will, it ended up as cancer, because we have the shame playing out, the lack of worthiness, the lack of deservedness. Those for me go hand in hand with cancer. Every time I see cancer, it's always a scenario, a dynamic like that, right? And so if you think about it from that perspective, then of course, where was the one place that was being targeted as not being good enough? Sex, intimacy, being able to be loved, right? So that was the area it manifested in. Now, in another case scenario with another female who was also experiencing the same thing with a relationship where the male was cheating on her, right, with all these other females, this individual did not manifest cervical cancer. She manifested alopecia, right? She lost all the hair on her body. Now, somebody would say to me, Maria, why if you have two scenarios that are identical, right? The fact that she was cheated on, this other person was cheated on, and yet she had the same thoughts about not being worthy, not being deserving, right? But then manifested alopecia, which is hair loss, instead of the cervical cancer. Well, two case scenarios, very similar incidents and situations, but we have two different dynamics going on, which will bring us to the next step of this. So in case number one, where the female was cheated on and created cervical cancer, that upbringing and family dynamic didn't warehouse unconditional love. So that individual never perceived themselves as able to be loved, right? Because there was no displaying the family dynamic. There was no love, right? They never felt that love, that unconditional love. Whereas in scenario number two, in case number two, the girl that was cheated on, she had that strong foundation within her family that she was everything to her family. They loved and they valued her. So the only thing that got compromised for her when he cheated on her, and it wasn't just one female, it was a multiple amount of females, right? Was the fact that her survival, that, you know, this was a person that she saw herself spending the rest of her life with. So her survival was compromised. So of course affected the root chakra again, and she felt she was in fight or flight, right? Fight or flight mode is survival mode. So now she's facing the challenge of like the her right to be in his life, you know, trying to work hard at convincing him he should choose her and not the others. He never admitted to the cheating. She felt it in her person, right? And so here we have two of the same exact scenarios, right? But yet they both manifested different illnesses in the body. So this is why I'm using this as an example, because I want you all to understand that you can have the exact same scenario playing out, but the manifestation in physical form is going to go where it is being directed through the emotional body. Does everybody understand that? Anybody have any questions so far? Okay. This is really, really important, right? Because we could take two people who have cancer, and the scenario behind the cancer could be the same two types of cancer, completely different scenarios. And so treating or healing that cancer from within is going to require two different types of scenarios presented, right? Person A, you're going to engage or encounter through this method of maybe, you know, shoring up their unconditional love within themselves, bringing them back into self-love. And person B over here, you're going to maybe have them look at, you know, why they felt they were in a desperate state of needing to hold on to this person. Like, what was the representation in that? So these are just general, you know, general examples here. But I wanted to present that in that way so that you could see that it's really based on the individual and what the individual is bringing in as far as the information is concerned and as far as what they are creating in their physical body, right? That's really very important to be aware of, is how we're creating that. And for those of you that were in my soul contract class with Bobby, you know, we talked a lot about imprinting in that class. We talked about generational imprints through the family dynamic and how soul groups came in to experience certain things. Some soul groups came in to experience cancer in the physical form. So for some people, it's easier to manifest cancer in their physical field, in their physical body, because it's what their soul group came in to create in that dynamic, right? That's an imprint that takes place. And so, you know, that brings up the imprints that I mentioned to you just a few minutes ago, being unworthy and undeserving and holding shame and guilt. Those are also imprints, right? So the healing the body requires us to do our work, right? We as healers, and everybody on this call is a healer, right? We as healers need to recognize that each individual situation is going to require a different approach to it, a different aspect to it, but yet it's all relatively the same because it's created through the mental body and the emotional body. Those are the two bodies that are triggered, right? So when we look at some of these illnesses, right, especially some of the biggies like MS, cancer, Parkinson's, any of those are so big that they put us into a crisis, and that crisis represents a wake-up call. So when that individual is first diagnosed, it's important for them to be able to look at what's being presented and not allow themselves to participate in fear, right? We have to surrender to what is and then come from a place within where we can participate in the experience we're having without drawing into fear. Now, I can also share from that because when I had been diagnosed the first time in 2000, it was in a moment, in a flash, being told that it was cancer. my human wanted to go into fear, and then the higher self came in and took over, and they're like, oh, this is a no-brainer. You got it. You're not going to die from it. And I just kept reassuring myself that I wasn't going to die. Like, I just knew that there was a reason that this was happening, a higher purpose, if you will, right? And it's kind of like, if you will, all of you who are aligning to being healers, right, that are on this call, whether you're on the call now or you're listening to the replay, you're aligning yourself with the aspect of the healer within, right? And that aspect of you that is coming from the highest place, the highest source within, is operating from the higher self perspective. And so if you think about it from the higher self perspective, the higher self already knows what has to take place in order to heal, right? It's the human that needs to get out of the way and let the higher self lead the way and do the work. So one of the most important things that, you know, is for first and foremost for me, whenever there is someone that has a crisis that is needing assistance or support for something that is taking place physically with them, is to alleviate the fear and have them try to shift that perspective into one of empowerment, right? Because that is probably the key to the healing, right? Is feeling empowered. Because when I was going through it, I would not let myself think that I was going to die from it. Like, I wasn't going to even go down that road. It had no bearing on me. And yet I knew that cancer ran in my family. There was a generational imprint for it. Now, back in 2000, I wouldn't have called it a generational imprint because I didn't even know what that term meant back then, right? But it's all a learning curve. I wasn't even a Reiki practitioner yet back then. That Reiki for me only happened in 2004, 2005. And so, you know, back in 2000, when I looked at the doctor and I said, what do I do to heal this? And they were like, lose some weight, eat healthy, exercise. You know, and I was heavy back then. You know, I have a picture on my website you can take a look at. You can read my bio. I'm not going into the whole thing here because I don't play in the past. I'm just pulling out key points for you guys, right? So if you think about it from that perspective, then I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I know there's a higher purpose, and I kept feeling there was a higher purpose, right? But sometimes what happens, and I see this all the time in my work, is people don't recognize that that crisis is happening. It's coming in to shift something that you are doing that you should not be doing that's not in your best interest, right? So whenever we see an illness or a situation that's taking place, it's always for the purpose of putting you in a crisis to shift you. That's always how it is, okay? Whether you like it or not, that is the truth. That's how it works, okay? And so when that crisis settled in, yeah, I was like 90 pounds overweight and I needed to get myself together, and I just had ended a second marriage that wasn't healthy for me. But again, it was all perfectly perfect, right? Even the experience of cancer, I wouldn't change any of it for anything in the world, because here I am doing this work today. And I love everybody that I come into contact with, right? I love every one of you participating on this call, because you're now going to take this to the next step in your own life, right? And so when it was happening for me, I was like, ooh, I got to fix this. So I started researching all the vitamins that I could take, all the supplements and everything. Back then, we were still in the density of 3D because 2012 hadn't happened yet, right? So think about it from that perspective. It was all I could do, was all I had, because we were still operating from a heavy density of 3D, polarity and duality, right? So I started with the supplements, went to the gym, got healthy, and within 11 months lost 90 pounds, right? And so I thought that I was good. And so here it comes. From 2001 when I finally got in shape and I was healthy, and I thought I had it. I thought it was B, right? And I was diagnosed as being in remission. It was very early stage, so but they said, yep, yeah, you're good. You know, the likeliness of it coming back, yeah, there's potential to come back. Just, you know, stay healthy, eat healthy. But so yeah, I did that for the next 4 years, and then all of a sudden in 2004, boom, there it was again, right? But I kept it, I caught it so incredibly early this time that there actually wasn't really a treatment for it. And so at that moment, I remember being at the doctor's office and I was having a conversation with myself that was like, okay, Maria, this is number two now. So something has to change. And you're doing the eating, you're doing the workout, you're doing, you know, the consciousness stuff. What is it that's still not working? Like, what is it? You know, I was working a corporate job back then, high finance for a broker dealer. And, you know, I had my own office cubicle. I was a supervisor, so I had my own office cubicle. And you could imagine I was like Lucy from the Peanuts with a sign on the outside that said, you know, nutritionist or whatever, right? Which I wasn't yet, but yeah, you could have hung that out there because I knew everything about cancer that there was to know. But what I was missing was the mental and emotional piece, right? Still hadn't squared that away within myself. So I was still going on about my day-to-day experience, still creating the same stupid thoughts and the same bad emotions that were running those thoughts, supercharging them, right? And so even though I thought I had done everything the right way, I hadn't checked those thoughts yet. And I said, something has to change in my reality. I need to shift something. So I decided I wasn't going to date. And I didn't date for, I think it was like 2 years. So from 2004, from 2003, 2004, hadn't dated, cancer came back. And I was like, all right, I got to figure this out. 2005, I meet somebody, think that like, this is going to be it. This is going to be the one. Cancer is now under control. Everything is healed. Good to go. Right. And so he wants to get married. I get married again. And then within a matter of 2 years, the marriage starts to crumble. He decides he really doesn't want to be married. It's too much responsibility. And my self-esteem goes right down the toilet again. And after probably about another 3 or 4 years, I'm starting to feel, you know, despair and unworthiness and all this other stuff, right? The only thing that kept me going was that when I first got married to him, I decided I'm going to enroll in the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. And I went to learn to understand more about nutrition and food. And I got a lot of pep talk while I was there because they're really great for that there. And so I was getting my emotional body fed, my mental body fed, all of that fed, right? And why that was important was because as my marriage was starting to fall apart again, but again, all the experience was perfect. He and I, great friends today, right? Really good friends. And so as that all was starting to wind down and come about, I was still doing the bad self-talk, still looking at myself as like unworthy of a healthy, good relationship, and couldn't understand it, couldn't figure it out. And then in 2013, January of 2013, I developed a cyst in the same place that cancer was. And so if you know what cysts are about running the same story over and over and over again, right? And that's what I was doing. I was playing out the same story. Wasn't playing it out as strong because you see, I didn't create the cancer again, right? So the story wasn't as strong, but it was still the same story which created the cyst. So now then I was on another mission to heal the cyst while I was going through yet again another divorce, right? So why is this important? Because this progression shows you that if we are managing our thoughts and emotions, we have a really good potential to avoid creating that illness again and actually reversing that illness from our body. Now, I didn't create the cancer again, but I did create the cyst, and that took a different direction in the way that it needed to be healed. But it was such an aha moment for me at that point that in 2017, I needed to go into complete and total surrender. Like, that was it. I'm done here. Take me, Jesus. If we're done, we're done. And I'm ready to go. That the moment that I surrendered, the cyst went away the next day, left my body, right? But we cannot get there if we do not understand that we are creating everything that takes place in our reality, right? So it's really important to understand that thoughts and emotions create everything we're experiences, right? People, I've had people with Parkinson's. Parkinson's for me is because of the shaking, is because they have so much anger stored within their body that they start shaking because they don't have an outlet for it, right? They can't find an outlet for it. They can't fix it, right? I've seen this especially with people that have had loss, where all of a sudden they'll develop Parkinson's because that loss that they experienced was outside or beyond their control, right? And then they develop the Parkinson's because they're not outward verbalizing their emotions. They're not seeking a method of clearing that energy from their field, right? And so, I mean, we could look at tons of different things, right? Somebody came to me the other day about eczema and psoriasis. You know, the skin is angry. The skin for me represents the root chakra, right? The root chakra and the skin are one and the same. The skin is your largest organ. But when I see anything skin related, whether it's alopecia or psoriasis or any kind of flare up or anything like that, the skin always represents the root chakra. And then if we look at the root chakra, we have to immediately go to the heart chakra. They're like intertwined with each other, right? Root chakra, fight or flight, survival, addiction issues, abundance issues, and the heart chakra is our relationship with other people, right? So we have to look at both of those. And why the heart chakra gets targeted is because it holds the lungs, and the lungs hold grief. You ever see somebody with chronic lung issues, chronic bronchitis? Right? Those people are in a chronic state of grief. They can't seem to clear it. And so that's how the body processes information, right? When we see addiction issues, if there's alcohol involved, alcohol related to the liver, because the liver has a relationship with the alcohol. The liver is about anger, frustration, and resentment. Okay? So again, anger issues. So when we see somebody who has alcohol or addiction issues to alcohol, they can't express their anger. And so unlike the person with the Parkinson's, right, their frustration with Parkinson's makes them shake. They're so mad and angry. But the person with the liver just wants to isolate and lock themselves away. And the liver gets affected because they're holding resentment and frustration and anger. Right? So we're seeing very similar patterns here, but where it's stored in the body is very different. Is everybody understanding this? So this is really, you know, this is why this work is so important, right? And those of you that are healers, this is really important. But I think the bigger part of this is what I'm showing you is that even as the best healer on the planet, if somebody doesn't want to heal you, you're not going to be able to help them, right? And so this is why this work is important, because we have to understand all of it. We have to understand the magnitude of it. And it starts with the mental body and the emotional body, right? Does anybody have any questions so far? Vinny, I'm gonna unmute you because I want, okay, go ahead, you're good.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Can I get you? So childhood illnesses, children's cancers, they come with that energy,
well,
from a past life or family life?
Yep.
Family.
Yep. In the soul contracts class, we talked about generational imprinting, right? I touched on it here. And so, you know, in a lot of these cases where we see these little babies that have cancer, and you know, you look at that and you're like, what thoughts and emotions could they possibly have? Because they are like babies, right? That's a generational imprint. So again, if we go back to the oversoul at the highest point of our incarnation, because you have to remember the oversoul, then it has the soul, then the personality, and then the personality has all the different fragments, which we talked about in the soul contract class. So one of the elements that the soul group or soul family decided to come in and address in this lifetime as a group, as a collective, right? We're going to talk about that in a second, is the fact that that collective is needing to heal cancer. So that whole collective is coming in with cancer, with the expression of cancer in some way, shape, or form. So yes, that little baby that's diagnosed at 6 months old, that is due to an imprint, and it could also have karmic repercussions, but always an imprint, always a family imprint, right? And one of the things that I like to do in those situations, because I work with, I'm just going to mute you because there's a lot of...
Sorry.
Okay, it's okay. I just want to be focused because when I am getting information coming through, I want to make sure I'm giving you guys everything that's coming through, right? So one of the most important things that I like to do is, so I know many of you experienced me coming to you in dream state teaching you, right? So just like we are in, yes, Erica, yes, that's what I'm going to talk about now, clearing out the imprints. So just like me coming to you guys in dreams, and you'll text me the next morning and say, oh my God, you were in my dream. I can't believe this, right? So there is a soul connection, a soul alignment, right? And that happens through dream state, especially when the soul, when you, the human, is on a higher pathway to learning, to higher learning, right? And so one of the most important things with this is to understand that when we are laying down to sleep at night, we can connect with the soul of that child or the other that's, you know, in our family line, especially in our lineage, right? And what I always say is start focusing on your heart center, right? And then connect the channel up, because we can't travel if we're not in a heart center, right? Because that's the place that we're going to travel from. That's where the astral was held, in the heart center, fourth dimension, fourth chakra, right? And so you're going to imagine, like, much like the meditation we did in the beginning, so bringing that energy all the way up, coming into the crown. Crown is important. Crown, we want to expand, right? So the crown is connectivity, and it's expansion, right? The crown gives us the opportunity to expand into the universe, into the all that is, into ourselves, because we are the universe, right? And the crown also gives us that ability to connect, right? So your intention when you lay down at night would be to connect with the soul of that baby, right? And the most important thing here, and Erica, for you too, because you're asking this question, the most important thing is to have a knowing, right? Streaming through your body, knowing that you're going to do this, that you're going to connect with this child, right? Because what's happening now, and I don't want to get too far off the topic with this, but this is like amazing stuff. The kids that are coming in, these 6 and 7 year olds, they're coming in as golden children now, where their aura is gold, and they have an agenda. They know what they're here to do, right? Their soul is here. So, you know, think of it from this perspective. If you have one of these children who have cancer, who's a baby showing up in your reality, you know, you might not know whether or not that child is supposed to survive that cancer, right? Because that's already selected by their soul as what they're going to experience. But what you can do is connect with them in dream state, in the astral, connect with them and open a dialogue with them and just be like, So I just want to connect with you, and you know, this is an imprint on your soul pattern. It's a generational imprint, and you know, if you're interested in support and guidance and assistance from, you know, someone who like me, I would be happy to support you through this if you're desiring that, right? And so we know without a doubt within ourselves if we're meant to do that and if that is in alignment for that little soul that we're wanting to help, right? So it's really important to just check in, like even with Reiki, right? I'm certified in Asui and Karuna Reiki. So if you listened to the video that I did the other day, the YouTube, I talked about how Asui Reiki is the very divine masculine because of the different symbols. It actually takes stuff out of the body, right? Whereas Karuna, because of its potential as divine feminine, it puts in through compassion and love, right? So the same thing, like when we're doing a Reiki session on somebody, they have to give us permission in all cases, whether they're in front of you or not, right? I can't tell you. That's why, well, for me personally, I don't really do Reiki anymore, but I always say it's an initiate into the higher realms, right? So some of you are just starting out and really need to have this information so that when you're working with people, you're like right there in the pocket, because the energy is moving so much faster now than it did when I was a practitioner, right? And so now you guys got to be right on it, because the energy is ripe with manifestation. I mean, we're materializing things like crazy. And we're going to talk about that in a second and how this applies to all of this, right? But the most important thing for you is to have the awareness that we are connected to all things. So yes, even that little baby, absolutely go into your meditative state of beingness, connect in that heart center, and then just go right into that baby and into their consciousness and say, hey, would you like some help? If they're open to it, they're going to let you know if they're open to it. If they're not open to it, it might just be that either they're not meant to survive it and the parents needed to know what that experience was supposed to be like, because that's a karmic exchange there then, right? That's karma and we can't change karma. Or that they are supposed to shift it themselves. Because some of these kids, rainbows and crystals, coming in as healers. They don't even have to touch you. They look at you and they're like, oh, okay, you're healed. Bye-bye. Right? It's like that now. So there, I'm unmuting you. So very, very different. So does that answer your question?
Absolutely.
Okay, good. Very
Thank
you. Good. Yeah. Erica, you too, are you good with that? Do you want to dial? You're good? Okay. So this is really important, right? Because this is how healing takes place, because through manifestation, as I just mentioned, these energies, they feel ruthless because they're moving so fast. So all you have to do is think of something a couple of times. Come on, guys, you know this. How many times do you think of something a couple of times and all of a sudden it shows up for you, right? I mean, every day, all day long, I'm manifesting my Range Rovers. Black ones, white ones, you name it. They're all over the place now, right? The only thing I haven't manifested, because I haven't really put my intention there, I'm so busy with work, is me sitting behind the wheel, for God's sakes, you know? So this is where, you know, we really need to be on the cutting edge. And that's why I do these classes, because this information is critical, in my opinion. So, you know, how illness takes residence in the body is through these thoughts and emotions. It's really quite simple. And then imagine that, you know, the manifestation process is happening super, super fast. It doesn't take much anymore. And we're seeing people showing up now with not stage one cancer, right? Stage four. They're right in end stage four cancer. I'm like, what the heck is going on with that? Right? Crazy, crazy stuff. So just like they got there, that manifestation happened spontaneously, so quickly. It's my belief that if they're meant to heal that cancer, that just as spontaneously as they created the cancer, they can heal the cancer, right? But we have to trust that. We have to believe that. That's where I was talking about my state of surrender with the cyst, right? I carried that cyst 5 years. It didn't want to go anywhere, right? I had to get into surrender. If I hadn't surrendered, it would not have cleared my body the next day. That's why I do this work. I had to have all those experiences. I had to have cancer twice. I had to have the cyst. I had to have those relationships. I love every one of them because they taught me something. I have no animosity toward any of them. But if I hadn't had any of that, none of you would be sitting with me right now. I can assure you of that, because I would not have anything to say. I'd be participating in either your classes or somebody else's classes, because I wouldn't have anything to offer you, right? But this is how I grew up. This is where I grew up. I grew up as a healer, as a hands-on healer, right? So when illness takes hold in the body, it's doing it very quickly now. It's not doing it slow anymore. We're not creating illness in a 3D template. 3D doesn't exist. The only place 3D exists is in those physical fields of those that cannot let go of the past, right? And so one of the most important things is, like I talked about on my YouTube video the other day, when we start to feel something coming up, right? Let's say you drive a new car, and I know this has happened to every single one of you. You drive a new car, you look up at the sky, and for a split second, you're like, oh, the sky is so, wow. Ooh, that was weird. Wow, I just had this feeling that's making me feel like, what is that feeling? Where does that come from? That's an old feeling. Makes me feel like, and then you find yourself turning that over and over in your head, right? We've all done that. And it's a feeling from somewhere really deep in your past. And then you're like, okay, why did that come up? Why did that happen? What do I need to know about that? Why would that surface? Like, what does that mean exactly, right? And we're wanting to, then you pick up the phone, you're like, hey, I had this real, do you remember anything about that time where we were, I had this feeling and I'm thinking, don't do that. Let it go. It's irrelevant, it's unimportant. And you know why? Because it was a timeline pulling out of your field, right? But just like we talk about manifesting cancer or any other illness, if you hang on to that timeline and you can't let it go and you're spinning your wheels on it, right? Trying to figure it out, trying to process it because that's what you think you have to do. Guess what's gonna happen? You're gonna create an illness that you don't want, right? Something you don't want. So it's really super important to be in awareness of everything that is presenting in your reality, because energy is moving fast. It's moving super fast. As a matter of fact, some of you, and this keeps coming to me, so I want to present on this, because my first experience working with plasma energy in the body was back in 2007, right? When I was still doing, I was doing table work. And so if you're doing a hands-on healing on somebody and you're feeling a disturbance under your hand, like a disturbance that makes your hand wiggle, right? Yeah, and I know some of you know what I'm talking about, yeah. And so you're making, it's making your hand wiggle, right? What I want you to do is I want you to spin it counterclockwise. Not clockwise, right? Think about it from this perspective. So every one of you, I want you to play with me on this one, right? So I want you to put your hand in the air and I want you to spin your finger, right, clockwise. And I want you to imagine that energy is coming right down to you, right? Do you feel that? You feel the energy coming down to you. Yes, if you don't, close your eyes and just imagine it, right? That's your chakra. That's your chakra spinning everything into your body. You're insourcing everything. Hello. Yeah. How about this one? Now put your arm out there and go counterclockwise, right? Can you feel yourself sending the energy away? Do you feel it? Sending it away, sending it away, sending, because you're backspinning it out, you're back spinning it out. Does everybody see that? Clockwise pulls it in, counterclockwise back spins it out. Yes? Okay, so if you are doing a hands-on healing on somebody on the table, for my healers out there who are working on people on the table, and those of you who are not, you're still healers, you could still do this and play with this and have fun with this, right? But when you're working on somebody and you're feeling that there is something taking place under your hands, I want you to close your eyes, get out of your head, because when our eyes are opened, we're in our head. I want you to close your eyes, I want you to hold your hand there, and I want you to go into this place, and I want you to imagine that you are backspinning that anomaly. Backspin that anomaly. You're going to backspin it counterclockwise, and you're going to backspin it until you feel it either one, dissipate under your hand, or two, pull out. And when it's plasma, it pulls out like, sucks right up like a blob of jello right into your hand. And then what you're going to do is you're going to take it, put it up, and transmute it to your guides, to your angels, to whoever you work with. Everybody got that? Any questions on that? That's really, really important. Really important. Okay? Because now we have a lot of plasma coming in. So I told you, we were going to be all over the place tonight, right? This is how it works. Because I have an agenda here, I have my jet, but this is not on there, so I'm just going to roll with it. So that means some of you are probably going to encounter this. So we have a lot of plasma energy coming in, and you know, please feel free to also check in on my YouTubes, because I talk about this, because I give the lay of like what's happening in the land that we're existing in. So when photonic light comes into the body, right? Photonic light are those very spread out kind of the clouds that look non-existent. They're up there, but they're kind of like dissipating already, right? And we saw a lot of that the last couple of years. Now we're getting these streams that look like if you took a blue background and you spilled some white paint on it and you took your finger and you went like this, right? And it's real thick and viscous clouds that look like they have all of this, you know, like finger painting going on, right? That's plasma. Okay, so you guys know the difference. Now, why is this important? Because photonic light, when it comes into the body, it's living, conscious light. When it comes into the body, it affects the distortions that we've held on to, the old programming, right? The lack programs, the self-worth programs, all of that stuff, the shame, all of that. And it comes into the body and it bends all of that distorted light that's in our physical body. It bends all of that distorted light. And as it bends that distorted light, it brings it more to the surface of our field. Now, I have a post out there that's called Creating Illness. You can go right into my Instagram or Facebook. And then there's another one called, I think it's called Navigating Your Energy Body. Those are two important posts because it explains a lot of this in there, a lot more, right? That's in there. And it talks about all the different lights, gamma, photonic light, all of that stuff, right? And that's and it's going to be at least a year old because I think, at least a year, maybe a little bit longer than that I posted them. So just search those out. Very, very good information in there. So the reason this is important is because when the photonic light comes in, it makes us sleepy, puts us to sleep, it makes us tired, makes us feel like we're fatigued, right? And that's because our body needs to go down and rest. But a lot of people perceive themselves as sick, something's wrong with me, right? We start to play into the whole symptom thing instead of just being in a place of allowing and saying, oh, look, I'm upgrading again. I need to lay down and go to sleep, right? So why this is important is because when photonic light comes in and it bends the distortion in our field, right? Because our field, we have our physical body, we have the etheric layers, which are comprised of our energy centers, our chakras, which makes up the aura that is around us, right? But then around that, we have an electromagnetic field, which is or the toroidal torus, you can call it whatever you want to call it, right? That looks like a huge donut. It's got like a hole in the middle, and the energy comes up and around, right? For those of you who know what a torus looks like. And so the reason that's important is because that field, that electromagnetic field, is what's, it's like a containment field around us, right? So it holds everything. It holds the good and it holds the not so good. And so the photonic light will come into that electromagnetic field and it will bend all of those distortions that we're no longer needing, and it will take those distortions to the surface. And then now that we're in plasma, for those of you that are energy sensitive and can feel it, at night when we're sleeping or laying down to sleep, if you hear your house creak, start tuning into your physical body, because you might feel a burst, a little burst in your body. That's plasma coming in. When the house is creaking, the plasma feels like a little burst in the body, right? When I feel it, because I am grid keeping, that blast comes through me and it's like, whoosh, you know, it feels like I'm shot with like a photonic blast of plasma light or something like that. But the more you play with it, the more you'll start getting sensitive to it. And the reason this is important is because you're going to find that a lot of people coming to you for healing, if you're doing a hands-on healing, you're going to feel that plasma that wants to come up, right? So plasma is like the roto-rooter for the body. So the photonic light comes in, it bends the distortions, and then plasma comes in and pulls the distortions out. And when plasma comes in, you know it, because we get very cold. All of a sudden, you're chilled to the bone, your hands and your feet so cold, there's nothing warming them up, right? And so when you're working on somebody, if you're starting to feel something in their field, it's probably going to be that plasma. So just keep that in mind. So with that backspin, that counterclockwise backspin, you're going to either be dissipating that energy, that plasma energy, or you're going to be completely pulling it out. And then if you do pull it out, just send it up and transmute it. Don't take it in, right? We're not empathing anything anymore. Empathing is victimhood mentality, and it's feeding a lack programming. So we don't want to do that, right? We are connected to everything. You're going to feel everything. You're going to intuit everything, but we don't want to run it through our body as if we need to hold on to it and keep it. That was empathing. That's old. That's over, right? But as many are awakening on the earth plane, you're going to notice that empathing becomes a big popular thing again. It's just how we do it, right? So we have to go in these. The more you know as healers, the better off you'll be. So that big field that we have around us, that electromagnetic field, why that field is important is because Gaia also has the same field around her. Okay? So that field acts as a containment around Gaia, right? Very, very important to have that awareness. Acts as a containment field around Gaia. And why that's important is because for the next part of this, when we get sick with an illness, the reason it's hard to get out of the mindset of that illness, and the reason it's hard to not root into negativity, despair, grief, is because if you go back to the soul family, let's use Cancer again, because it's very popular on the earth, unfortunately, now, but it's what is needed to bring awareness, right? It's got, you know, everything that happens is for the purpose of awareness, since it's really bringing a lot of people connecting together again and opening and expanding heart centers, right? So but if you think about cancer and you think about it from the perspective of how difficult it is when somebody finds out that they have cancer, especially if they're, you know, staged in 2, 3, or 4, and they can't seem to find a way out of that despair that they feel. And the reason for that is because if you think about it from the soul family, right, the thousands and thousands and millions of people that are on the earth that have cancer, right, or know somebody that have cancer, whether you have it or you know somebody, and you're holding grief or sadness or anger or frustration, that is the fractaled soul aspect that is stepping to the forefront of that individual with cancer. They're tying into their fractaled aspect that they brought through in this lifetime to heal anger or frustration or shame or guilt or any of those things, right? So that fractaled aspect gets initiated and steps to the forefront in their experience of cancer. And now suddenly, their electromagnetic field locks into the electromagnetic field of Gaia, because that individual with cancer is no longer just warehousing their own emotions concerning the cancer, right? So if you think about it as a timeline vibration, so they're holding their timeline, which has cancer. And then because we are all connected, they are also reaching into the Earth's atmosphere, the Earth's electromagnetic field, grabbing that timeline that has cancer on it, except it doesn't have one person. It has a collective of people who have cancer or have known people who have cancer and have great emotion concerning it. And it's like they plug it in. Boom. So now they've just plugged themselves into the collective bucket warehousing emotions concerning cancer on a collective level. This is why it's very hard to heal some of these bigger illnesses, because if that person cannot get themselves out of that collective bucket, they're locked in to the millions of people that have cancer on the earth, right? When I was dealing with it, I turned my back on cancer. I didn't tell anybody, didn't talk about it. I found other outlets for it. I found other means for it. I didn't acknowledge it. I didn't want to be a survivor, because the term survivor still carries victimhood mentality. If I'm a survivor, I had to survive something really awful. I was a victim, right? Think about it from that perspective. Is that making sense to everybody? Right? So this is why it's so important that we understand illness, how illness is created, and how we can move beyond the experience and support those who may be, you know, having some difficulty themselves with that experience. Because when we're experiencing an illness in our physical body, unless we're really good at understanding that we can manage it in a better way than feeding the fear aspect of it, right? Because if you go into acceptance, and you can be allowing, and you can release all expectation, all need for outcome, then you can actually raise your vibration and step into healing. But if you can't do that, if you can't release, go into allowing, go into acceptance, go into surrender, then you're feeding fear and you're holding lack consciousness. And your body can never shift out, because you see that your experiencing is marrying the experience of the Earth collective. Does everybody understand that? Does anybody have any questions? No? Okay. This is where it's really important to understand that the reason we have such a hard time healing an anomaly in the body is because any time we are creating an illness. We're affecting a timeline because time is nonlinear. So every single lifetime we have ever experienced is happening right now, right? So if you incarnated at some point, someplace else, and tried to heal cancer and was not successful, guess what? You're bringing that fractaled soul aspect into this incarnation, to this lifetime with you, so that you can do that again. And this time, try to be successful with it, right? So you're picking up that timeline, and then you're reaching into Gaia and taking the timeline in Gaia of every single person. It's very important to understand this and have the awareness. This is how we're connecting ourselves to the mass. This is why when you see somebody that just cannot get out of their head and they are in such a state of fear and it's almost impossible for you to talk sense into them, this is where they are. You guys see that? Yeah, really hard place to be because they don't know anything else, right? But you guys having this information, you're like the lifeline now because you have this information. So Erica, you're asking, do you have any suggestions on dealing with empathy for healers? Okay. Dealing with empathy toward your clients. Can I unmute you for a second? Hi, go ahead.
Yeah, so I'm a highly sensitive and empathetic person, and I do experience a huge energetic shifts when somebody just enters a place, mm-hmm. and I just like, I feel it until my bones.
Okay.
And I think that at some point it becomes a huge disturbance, you know?
Yeah.
To help the other person, but also to keep yourself sane and healthy, you know. So, yeah, just wondering.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Okay, so I do have some help for you there. A couple things are coming to me right now. So the first thing I'm going to say is, for those of you that are doing any kind of healing work with people that are in a place where you are an empath or you consider yourself an empath, one of my favorite things to do, and the angels had given me this years ago when I first started as a healer, right? They said to me, listen, we can make this super easy for you. All you have to do is ask us each time you come into your office to make a Hoover vacuum cleaner like thing over your table so that while you're working on the person, you can just imagine that everything is being vacuumed right up into that Hoover vacuum and being transmuted immediately, right? So that was always my favorite. So once they told me I could do that, I was like, okay, then I don't want to create that every time I come in. So I'm just going to put you in charge and you guys are going to create that vacuum for me every time I come. I was lazy. I'm going to let you do that every time I come in. And they did, right? So that's perfect because what that does is that takes the onus off of you. And then you do not ever have to think ever again about not being protected, and what energy is coming off that person is not coming into you, right? So that's number one. So that's a really good tool. The second thing that I really like to use is amethyst, because amethyst is a really great stone. It holds the vibration of the violet flame. Okay, Saint Germain and Archangel Zadkiel, okay? So they both work with amethyst, and amethyst is an amazing stone to have in your healing room. I used to grid my table with a stone grid underneath, and I put, all different, like at the head, I had amethyst, and then I had citrine, and I had just a whole bunch, angel life for the throat, right? Well, everything, this huge piece of rose quartz for the heart center. But I always had polished stones because I was worried about raw, because some people can't handle raw, right? But you could do whatever you want. But that's another great tool. Just grid your table, right? And make it fun. Like I connected quartz points end to end, link to link, You know, if I could find the pictures, I'll send them when I send you the replay on this. I just did a lot of, you know, wild stuff. My guides were always like, hey, try this, try that, right? So that's another tool that you could use. I love gridding the table. If you have a table that's stationary, do that. If you're someone that that does like reconnective healing and you don't really need to have a table or somebody sitting on it, you could do your work. I've got amethyst all over the place. Right behind my computer screen is a huge geode, an amethyst geode. It's facing me. but amethyst, wear it. You know, it's a great stone. It carries the violet flame of transmutation. When the fairy came to me on my property, when the landscaper had killed the lawn because he had created a fungus, she came with the elementals and they asked me to grid the corners of the property with 4 quarts and then plant an amethyst in the center. And I was like, what? What's with the amethyst? And she was like, oh no, it's a violet flame transmutation. I was like, oh yeah, I have an amethyst for you right away. You know? So we want to use these tools, right? That's another really good one. My favorite though, right? For when we are going out and about in public, Erica, like you're dealing with, is, so remember how we did the exercise with the chakras and we felt, right? Because we're clockwise spinning and we're kind of like streaming everything right into our body. That's why we feel everything and we're empathing everything, right? So what we're doing is we're insourcing. We're taking it all in. We're pulling it all in. So what you can do is you can either command all your chakras, right? We command them. Command all your chakras to just go from the outward position, doop, straight up, right? Now your chakras are sourcing where? Source. Your higher self, right? So just in your mind, command, I command all my chakras to go straight up, right? They're no longer pointing out from me, the funnel end is straight up. And then that protects you. You're no longer insourcing, you're sourcing your higher self. Does that make sense to everybody? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How's that, Erica? Does that feel good?
Yeah, definitely. I have amethyst.
Okay.
Normally I wear lapis lazuli, you know, like.
Lapis for me is more stone of the goddess, right? And when I see lapis, it brings me back to Egypt, right? Egyptian time. So if you're feeling very connected to that, that's a very Egyptian stone. It's a very, I would call it a very shamanic type of stone, right? But it connects me right into Egypt, right into the pyramids, into the Hall of Amenti, and all of that, right? So, you can still wear that. It's not like you have to wear amethyst. You have a choice here. There's many ways for you to go. Just take control of your chakra system and source up to the higher self. That's what I would do. I actually love that lapis for you. I think that's a great stone for you. So wear that. That's great. You don't have to wear amethyst.
I didn't know that it's connected like to Egypt, but it's funny, three or four years of my life I spent there.
Yeah.
So it's a funny association.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's nothing. That is your lineage. That's your history. Mm-hmm. So that's why you feel so connected. We connect to different aspects of ourselves through crystals, through books that we read, through the, you know, that's why my philosophy, anybody that works with me always knows, I'll take the book out of your hand and tell you to go up into your higher self, because your higher self will always tell you what you need to do, right? And when you're reading a book, you're reading somebody else's experience. And what's really important for me with anyone that I work with is that you have your experience, right? You came here as a sovereign being, autonomous, right? With the ability to know everything. You already know it all. You don't even, I am your mirror. How about that? I am your mirror. I'm a mirror for every single one of you, right? Every single one of you, I have showed up here today because you were showing up to commit to yourself to learn more about illness and healing the body and this crazy energy that we're all playing, right? Doesn't mean I'm any better, just means that I've been doing this probably longer, right? That's all this means. I'm bringing you everything. And I'm not going to give you half of it. I'm going to give you all of it because I want you all to be way better than I ever was. Way better. Go out there and make me proud, right? I want to see great things from everybody. So I want you to use these techniques, these tools, these tricks, whatever it is you want to call them, do it. Upsource to your higher self, right? You, all of you, command it, demand it in, right? We're not playing small anymore. You're all ascended masters. You might not realize it yet, but you're all ascended masters. So upsource, source to the higher self. Point those chakras up, right? There is no such thing anymore as going into a store and not being able to handle the frequency or not being able to handle the energy. We don't do that anymore. We do perceive ourselves as being empathic, Erica. So that is awesome that you understand that about yourself, right? That you are so connected. But now that you have that experience and you know you are so connected, you don't have to do that anymore, right? You only did that to open yourself up, to turn yourself on, to have the experience so you can have the awareness. Do you see that? Yeah. That's how powerful you are. That's how powerful all of you are, right? Yeah. Yep, that's how it works. So great question. Anything else on that? Or did I answer it? We're good?
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Okay, any other questions before we switch gears here? Anybody? No? Okay. All right. Okay, so really, the best thing you could do, because this works anywhere on anything, and you're not insourcing anybody else anymore, and you're not taking anything on when you're in a healing session, is just point it up and source your higher self, right? My phone is lighting up. My phone's like, yes, that's great advice. Yes.
Maria?
For yourself. Maria. Yes, Donna. Yes? Oh, Donna? Hello?
Okay. Maria?
Yes?
Okay. That upsourcing, can we do that, say, in the morning, rather than putting on, say, the armor?
Protection? Okay. We don't body armor anymore. There is no more.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a great question. I love that. Thank you for asking. Yeah,
okay.
We don't put on body armor anymore. We don't zip up our chakras. We don't put ourselves in a big bubble. We don't do that because that's fear-based. So let me just, this is going to be way off topic, but I'm going to talk about it for just a second because this is a really good question, especially from a healer perspective, right? So if we are participating from the thought process that we are needing to shield ourselves or put a bubble around ourselves for protection, because I know a lot of people teach that, then we're playing in lack consciousness and we're pulling up fear, right?
Okay.
We don't want to operate from that because then we're like, okay, we have to contain ourselves in a bubble. But if you can yourself in a bubble, you're also isolating yourself from other things.
Cutting off the feeling. Right. Exactly.
Right. So we don't do that anymore. Right. Let me just say this one thing is I have to just speak to this, right? Because that goes with that whole entity thing also, right? When people talk about entities. So I'm just going to say this. I've never, ever, ever played into the whole entity thing. Now I know that people make their business on that. That's perfectly fine if that they are playing in that field, but that's lower fourth dimensional consciousness. Okay. And so lower fourth dimensional consciousness presents all of that entity attachment, right? And so if we are participating in that in through the awareness that says that I can't do this because I'm going to have an entity attachment, then we're actually leaving ourselves vulnerable to that, because then it's not like
putting the thought out there,
that, but you're actually, yes, you're putting that
right,
thought out
right,
there, you're putting
right.
that energy out there, and you
right.
have to remember, everything in your reality, you are bringing into yourself as your experience. You are giving yourself the experience in every single moment, right? So I am not an advocate. You will never hear me talk about entity attacks or anything like that. Never experienced them. A lot of people think that they're having an entity attack when they have sleep paralysis, because the soul has not come back into the body yet from traveling while the body was sleeping. And then you get that where you can't move, you can't breathe, you can't talk, you can't open your eyes. You can't. That's sleep paralysis. That's not an entity attack. Okay. But you have to remember, manifestation, we're manifesting those entity attacks too. So let's not play into the whole protection thing. That's a great.
Right. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And anybody that's on the call that's new to energy work, yeah, we don't want to do that. We want to be sovereign within ourselves. Just shoot those chakras straight up. And
okay, sort of that's great to know. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks.
Yep. Perfect. Good question. So we want to make sure that we're sourcing ourselves, right? Because you got to think of it from this perspective. We're alchemizing the collective right now. So every time we're engaging in our reality in whatever way, right, we're healing those timelines. We're healing those fractal aspects, like we talked about in soul class. Those fractal aspects are coming forward. Even in situations where people are healing from illness, right? They're healing and alchemizing those fractals. And Bobby, I think it was you earlier today, right? You were asking me a question about emotions and why we let ourselves go to that place when we cry, right? Yeah, wait, you're on.
No, I just said that I was crying all day for no reason. I mean, yeah. I had thoughts with it, but it released quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, it released quickly, right? When we don't hang up on the thought and try and figure it out, it'll go. Yeah, that was a great question earlier. I just wanted to bring it into this group because that's another aspect of this, right? How we create illness. If we choose not to cry, then we're storing that emotional energy, right? Emotional energy, crying. Stores in the body, emotions are magnetic, magnetizes, amplifies in your field, and then you have bigger problems because now every time that similar scenario comes up, guess what you're going to do? You're attracting it right into your field because you already have that vibration there. Does that make sense to everybody? Right? So I had my own experience yesterday, last night, probably like around 9 o'clock. All of a sudden, something triggered me. And I just started crying. And, you know, I know the work well enough to let myself have the boo-hoo. It lasted all of like, you know, maybe 2 or 3 minutes. And then when it was over, I kind of forgot what it was that triggered me that I started crying about. But if we sit there and we start to wallow in it and get caught up in it and start to hash through it and hammer it out and you know, woe is me. You don't clear it. You have to come from the place where you just let the purge happen. Tears are the fastest way to clear distortion from our field. Let me say that again. Write it down. Tears are the fastest way to clear emotional distortion from our field. When you allow yourself to have the cry, right, or you allow yourself to experience the emotion that's coming up, I guarantee you, if you can just sit through that emotion and not have to dissect it, you will find that it flees as fast as it came. And the reason is because you're not empowering it with more thoughts that need more emotions. Thoughts and emotions, they're like a husband and wife, right? They are magnetic and they are electric. Thoughts are masculine, they're electric, emotions are feminine, and they are magnetic, and they go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. You just can't, right? So we get stuck in that. But when you are, when we are doing this work, and especially now, everything that we're doing, we're alchemizing the collective. We're healing and integrating. So in Bobby having the cry and me having the cry, we just cried for people that can't cry. Every time you do your work, Bobby's laughing at me. Every time you do your work and you're willing to participate, you don't have to know why. You're participating in doing your work on behalf of the millions of other people in that collective that are feeling the exact same thing in that moment, but are not willing to let themselves have the cry. Nope, I'm not going to do it. I'm going to be stronger than that. I can't. I'm going to suck it up and just keep moving forward. That's not, yeah, we don't do that. We have to break down to build ourselves up. We have to break down to level up to the next. Every time I'm about to level up and engage in the next level, there's a breakdown, right? And it feels like suddenly I'm on my own. There's no higher self. There's no source. There's no nothing, no guide, no nothing. And in that moment, it's because I need to pull myself up to the next level. So I need to just sit and be allowing of what is leaving my field. Okay, instead of stressing about it. I hear people come, I lost my guides. I don't know what to do. I'm not intuitive anymore. I'm like, no, no, nope, nope. You're leveling up, right? So it's like you're the baby in that moment. Your guides are your parents, and they're like, come on, we got you. We know you can do it. Come on. And you're expected to push yourself forward, right? Take another step. Yeah, that's what it's about, right? So every time you're doing your work, guess what? You're getting paid. You're getting paid. There's a click, there's a notch in the bank, right? So somebody had said to me a while back that let go of the need for recognition. Let go of the need for reward. Let go of the need to know that you've done something good or something right. People won't always pay that back to you, right? They won't always give that back to you, right? And we don't need to have that recognition, because on the other side, in the ethers where you cannot yet see, every time you've done something good and that recognition was not given to you, you still get the check mark, you still get the click, you still get the coin in the piggy bank. On the other side, your higher self knows everything that you do, right? So all you have to do is be a good human. Just do your work. Do for you, because when you do for you, when you do for you, you're up-leveling your collective. You're up-leveling everybody on the earth plane. You're helping humanity, right? Just by doing your work. And then you feel better because you've done your work, and suddenly everybody that shows up around you is in a better place. That's how it works, right? So let's see what else we have left. So, you know, one of the things that I want to give you guys too is another way of thinking about this. So when we do get sick, right, getting back to creating illness, and how to reverse it, how to shift out of that mindset, right? When we create the illness, we're creating the illness in a sense of, the guides show me like creating an army, right? So you have the thought, you marry it with an emotion, and then you keep bringing that thought and that emotion together, forming that stronghold belief, right? And every time you do that and you marry them together and you marry them together and you marry them together, the next thing you know, it's like you've created an army out of all of these soul fractals, these fragments of your souls that are just like waiting to come forth and be like, okay, what do we got? Oh, look, we got something here going on, right? And now you've got this army of these soul fragments that are coming in. And if your thoughts were not good thoughts and they were about illness, you're calling forth all of those fractaled aspects of yourself that are not healthy, that came back here to be healed, and you're calling them all in. Yeah, calling them forward, right? And it's making you sicker and it's making you feel worse, right? And in the same likeness, as you are calling these soul fractals forward that need to be healed, you're also shifting the consciousness of the cells in your body, right? So the cells have their own brain. The brain has a brain. The heart has a brain. The gut has a brain, right? And every cell in your body has a brain and holds memory of everything you've ever done since the moment of your existence in the history of you. So if you think about it from this perspective, every time you manifest a thought that's not good, and then there is an emotion that marries up to that, you're persuading your cells to come out of their good thinking thoughts that has been keeping your body healthy and shift into these more negative thinking thoughts that is now creating illness in your body. Does everybody see that? That's super powerful, right? Because what's happening is you're taking your army of good guys that are in your body and you're changing them over to an army of bad guys. I don't want bad guys in my body. I want the good guys in my body. They're keeping my body healthy and strong, right? But every time your words and your emotions are of a lower vibration or from a negative place, it's like you've changed sides and you're now running with the bad guys, right? You're no longer with your pack, you're on the other side. So we don't want to do that. We want to start thinking in terms of shifting and up-leveling our thoughts so that we can stay empowered in everything that we're doing, right? Which means that we have to be aware of the thoughts that we're creating in every moment, right? So if you're someone that thinks to themselves when you perceive yourself as making a mistake, oh my God, I'm so stupid, so stupid, so stupid. Well, you're going to continue to do things that are going to make you want to say you're stupid, right? Because that's the energy that you're perpetuating. That's the energy that you're giving off. Does that make sense? Now, I had a client recently who didn't do well in high school, didn't like high school at all. And he and I sat and we talked, and he's much older now. And he wanted to start his own business, which I'm helping him with. Because it's one of the things I do. And when he came to me, he was like, I said to him, I know you're supposed to be taking this test for a captain's license or something for boating or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And I'm like, you're so happy and gung ho. And what happened? He's like, I can't do this. I can't take the test, right? So all I did was show him where in high school he wasn't focused enough when he was reading the question. And because he wasn't focused enough, he perceived himself as being dumb and bad test taker and stupid in school, and school is not for him and all this other stuff. Well, he took his third test with the captain's course that he's taking. And he's passing each test. He's got one more to go with flying colors, right? Because he shifted his belief system. He changed out that army of bad guys that kept telling him that he was no good, that he wasn't smart enough, that he couldn't do it, right? And now he's shifting that into a new belief system. And so where he was in a state of lack and he wasn't thriving within himself and he wasn't happy and things were not going good for him or going his way, he's now soaring and thriving because all he did was shift his realization. Oh my goodness, I have to slow down when I read a question. And that was something that stuck him up his whole life. So simple for me, but yet he couldn't see it, right? Sometimes we can't see it. We can't get out of our own way. So we have to look at everything from a different perspective now. You have to take yourself out of your physical if you can't figure it out. Go in third person and take a look at it from there and go like, what am I missing, right? Take yourself out of the equation. That's how you have to do it. And we have, you know, want to keep our vibration high because that's how we stay healthy. And that's also how we're stopping illness from taking a stronghold, right? All this awareness that I'm bringing through to you tonight that you're helping to create by your presence here, even those who are not participating and will listen to the replay, because you're actually creating the dynamic of what's coming through this call with your energy, right? With your higher self, putting this forth so that I could bring you what it is that you need to know. That's how it works. So when we are already sick, right? Let's say you are dealing with having an illness. The first thing that needs to happen is we have to start to perceive ourselves as whole, right where we are, right? Which is sometimes hard to do, but we have to look at ourselves and say, even in this moment where I am right now, I'm whole. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, right where I'm supposed to be. There are no mistakes, right? My universe does not give me mistakes. It's all exactly as it's meant to be. And if I could just wrap my head around thinking that I can't do this, or I can't make this go away, or I'm not good enough, I'm not strong enough, I am not deserving of healing. Right? That's a big one. Deserving and worthiness. God, I hate those two. Those are the two everybody's going to come to you with, right? Deserving and worthiness. And what follows that each time is shame and guilt, right? So that's really where the work is. Understanding that and then assisting and supporting with aligning to a new reality, right? And really helping them see it from the perspective of they are exactly where they're meant to be. And this crisis is merely a wake-up call for them to shift something that they're doing that they is not serving them, right? Shift it. It's not working for you. Right, Kim? So we have to look at it from a different perspective. You know, we want to tune into a higher vibrational state of being. We want to match those higher vibrational signals that will allow our body to shift from the illness that we have into something greater, right? But the problem is that all it takes is one person to become sad or depressed to then affect everybody else like a domino effect. And then everybody is depressed, sad, angry, and, you know, and those are not the people you want on your team when you're not feeling good, right? You want the team players that are gonna pep you up and you know, get you to the game and, you know, prop you up on the sidelines and give you the pom-poms so you could be the cheerleader if you can't play, right? That's who you want on your team, right? So it's really important to have that mindset and that awareness that we want to help others, especially when it comes to healing, become a co-creator in their reality. And that means that they have to first start looking at how they are engaging within themselves, right? How they are connecting with themselves, how they are speaking to themselves. And a lot of times that is coming through from their childhood, from something in the past that made them feel less than, that did not make them feel important or special enough, right? You could be the best healer in the world, right? You could be the most amazing healer in the world and that person's not going to receive it. I had two huge instances, one where I had a woman who was, I think she was probably, I want to say 36 at the time, this is years ago. And she had a problem with her heart, right? Whenever I see heart problems, for me, it always represents mother issues in some way, shape, or form. And she had a very volatile relationship with her mother. And so this one time I had her on the table for healing. And in that moment, she had a spontaneous healing. Jesus appeared with Mary Magdalene. And it was like fireworks going off. And 2 days later, she was right back to where she was. She couldn't stick the landing on that healing. You know, I did my best, but it wasn't, couldn't do it. And then there was another time where I was in training with a shaman from Arizona, and she brought her friend in for me to work on her. And she had worked on a friend a number of times, and her friend laid on the table. And that was the first time I ever experienced plasma energy. And I started working on her, I had my hand over her, and whoop, right out of her body, this blob of jello came into my hand. And I was like, what was that? I had no idea what it was. I just threw it to be transmuted by my guides. And when she got up on the table, she goes, that was in my pelvic area. And I was like, yeah. And she said, I had a really serious UTI infection. I went to the doctor for today. And she said, do you know my pain is gone right now? And I said, wow, that's really awesome. And she's like, I think you just healed me. I said, I think you healed yourself, but I'll help you take the credit. And so she called me a couple days later. She had gone back to the doctor to be retested. The test results came back negative. She stuck her landing. So do you see how this works? I had two amazing healings right there, like a week apart, 2 weeks apart. One wanted it so desperately because she was tired of having chronic UTIs, and the other one just couldn't get out of victimhood mentality. You guys see that? It's really important, right? Because not about us at the end of the day. We could be the most amazing healer. So I want you to really be aware of that. You know, when I was first starting, I mean, I was a newbie to Reiki One, newbie. And I was doing healing for somebody, and they bought a gift certificate for their friend who was in stage 4 cancer. I wanted so badly to heal that person. And it just wasn't meant to be, because they weren't meant to stay here. They were already in stage 4. And so by the time I got to them and I had done the session at their house, it was really just to ease them for their passing, and they were going to cross over. Very big lesson for me in recognizing that I don't have the power for anything. The power is within the person receiving the healing. So don't ever walk away from a healing feeling defeated, because it's never you, right? You're doing your best. It's the other person, whether they're going to receive or not. Because at the end of the day, we're all sovereign, and only we can create the healing for ourselves. So that's really important. Erica is asking what the UTI refers to emotionally. Well, UTI is usually burning, right? It's usually a burning pain. Urinary tract infection. And so whenever I see that, it has to do with the bladder. And for me, the bladder is about retention. So think about the burning of the UTI. So burning mad, holding in what they can't let out. Do you see that? Burning mad, holding in what they can't let out. That would be a UTI. What can be done for narcissistic personality or mental disorder? That was the soul contracts class, right? Because every soul chooses, believe it or not, when a soul chooses to come in here with And my guides just, I had this talk just the other day with my higher self, and it was so powerful because I was being given very clear information that even in a case scenario of somebody who has a mental disorder, right, that holds a narcissistic expression, that higher self is still in charge. It's still running the show, and the human is expressing themselves exactly as they're meant to express themselves. So it's not like it's a mistake or something is wrong or there's some kind of a, a mistake or something that like went wrong in the process of incarnation or anything like that. That is how that soul is choosing to show up as part of their soul contract. And it's what they needed to experience. Because let's say that soul needed to come back to understand what it was like to have a mental disorder, because in other lifetimes, maybe they incarnated as this perfect physical form, whether they were male or female. They had money, they were smart, and they looked down on others. So maybe in their incarnation in this lifetime, they came in challenged with a narcissistic personality that also has, mental dysfunction. Does that make sense to everybody? So sometimes we can't look at it just as the illness. We also have to understand it from the soul contract perspective. But those soul contracts that are taken like that, the ones that are narcissistic individuals in relationships, for me, are always playing out a very karmic relationship. That relationship with a narcissist is always karmic, always. Does that make sense? If you have something specific you want to ask, you can come on with me and we'll talk. Does anybody else have any other questions on that? Wait, Donna, I can't hear you. Donna?
Hello? Yes.
Okay, now I can hear you. Okay.
And now I know how to do it. is that for the person that came in, it's their karmic, or the person that got into the relationship with them?
Both.
Or is it both?
Both.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, when we see karmic relationships, when you're in a relationship with somebody and it's a very difficult, challenging relationship, let's say you had two parents that were very dysfunctional or very mean, the souls that came in to participate in that role knew that was going to be hard. Most of the time, they don't want to do that because it's so hard. Right? It's such a hard role to play because they know that it's going to be difficult on both sides in this living experience. So that karmic exchange is usually with a soul that you've had other lifetimes with, so that it could be as painful as it is. Because most of those relationships are super painful, so hard to let go of, right? You've got that back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and it's just painful. The whole thing just like rips you to shreds. That's karma. But when you're in that relationship that is narcissistic in that way, if every time you thought of that person, right? This is how we heal this. So take this in. Every time you thought about that person, you're like, oh, no, wait. That is a karmic relationship. That person is just playing a role in my story. I don't really feel toward them like I think I feel. My human emotional body and mental body are making all of that up. It's not real. And the more you do that and tell yourself it's not real and shift your self-talk, because when we're in a karmic relationship with somebody we love, we're like, oh my God, this is so hard. I can't believe how hard this is. Oh my God, why can't this just be different, right? But then if you think about it from the perspective, you keep manifesting that same garbage over and over and over again by what you're feeding yourself, right?
Your self-talk.
Yes, your self-talk. But if right. you could, the minute you started that self-talk, if you could go, oh, no, you don't. No. We got the scoop on this. This is a karmic relationship that I am not meant to be in. And I can heal it by understanding and recognizing that I do not need to engage in this anymore. Thank you, other person. I cancel my soul contract with you because I now recognize that this is the soul contract that I have with you. I'm canceling it. We're going to write a new soul agreement because agreements are in higher alignment, and I'm not giving you the soul contract anymore. I'm canceling it. It's done. And then every time you think exactly that. I cancel that soul contract. Do not come back and bother me. I'm done with you. Eventually, you shift that energy, and boom, that relationship just ends. It's done. Okay?
To start anew.
Yeah, and what I would do is I wouldn't get in a new relationship right away. I would just focus on...
No, I meant with the same person.
Yes, you're going to do... So soul contracts are very outdated. They are very third dimensional, right? Because they really didn't serve us. Because if you think about it, everybody that went to Afghanistan that stepped on a IED, I always get that wrong, on an IED, I always say IUD.
Exactly. No, we don't need those.
Women here don't know about IEDs, right? Sorry. Sorry. Thank you, Murray. Thank you for
the laugh.
Okay, thank you. I like, you know, blonde. I got lots of So if you think about it from this perspective, any of those people that went over there, stepped on an IED, came back missing limbs, you know, if they knew when they were writing that soul contract that how the pain they were going to be in, trust me, they wouldn't have done that. But they're over there on the other side going, oh yeah, this is going to be a blast. Look at me, what I'm going to look like. Oh my God, that's going to be so funny. I can't even imagine. Because the soul doesn't, it hasn't gotten here yet. It's still in that 5D, woo, 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 right? So it doesn't know. But then when it gets here and it goes through, then it feels everything, right? So we have to come from the awareness that when we created these soul contracts, we were creating the soul contract from a very high 5D point of view. So back then, we thought that that was the end all be all. We didn't realize that we were putting ourselves into misery. We had no idea, because none of us would have chosen that, right? So that's how that works. And now these new soul agreements that we're writing benefit both parties, higher right. aligned, and you right. won't have that constant conflict.
So can the same thing be said then for chronic illness when you're dealing with many issues at the same time? And, you know, you try to stay away from the negative thinking and the happies and the lousies, as I always refer to them, cholesterol. Right. But anyway, so you've got all of these things, and it's hard to keep your head in that good space when you've got so many areas.
So let me give you a way to look at this, right? So we're gonna answer the last two parts, which is walking out of the story you believe you should stay in, and understanding that you have all the tools you need. So right there, right, one of the big things that I want to say is whenever you're up against, and then Devin, I promise I will answer your question. Whenever you're up against a situation where you have others that are participating in that lower third dimensional vibration, running those distortions, right, running those programs that are old programs, and you're finding yourself really feeling challenged, what I want you to do is I want you to all of a sudden switch gears, remind yourself that you can operate from the higher self perspective, place yourself in the higher self perspective, and then shift your visual perception of that person to that person standing with their five-year-old self in front of them, throwing a temper tantrum, because that's what your experience. You're experiencing the wounded inner child that they have not healed. Do you understand that?
Yep. So
every time that occurs for you, if you could internally think to yourself, I see the soul contract playing out here. They're mirroring this aspect to make me go deeper into compassion within myself for them. Do you see that's what they're showing up? Their reflection is asking you to go deeper within yourself, love them more. They're presenting to you in that way as a challenge because your higher self is saying, okay, Donna, we're at the level where we're going to level up now. You want to heal this stuff, don't you?
Okay.
My compassion. When you come into compassion and you love yourself more, illness goes away.
Okay.
You have to really come into yourself fully, surrender to everything that you think you know. Everything that shows up in your reality is presented to help you. It is here to help you. It is not here to defeat you, right? It's just that we have come all the way through here from a very third dimensional distorted reality perspective that we've been playing.
My awakening happened for a reason.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
The next tier of way showers, right? That's what I do.
Right.
I'm showing the way. You're the next level coming up because you're taking my classes. Every one of you here is a way shower learning now how to do this. You're going to teach those that are coming up next. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm moving on to something else.
Well, thank you for answering my questions. I appreciate it. And I'm sure a lot of people deal with chronic illness more than one within themselves. So I thank you.
And you have to remember, inflammation in the body, right? The number one.
Oh, yes. Good old inflammation.
Inflammation in the body. So for me, inflammation is also representative of, feeling anger, right? So feeling inflamed, feeling your emotional body inflamed. Does that make sense to you guys?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very much so. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's really important. Feeling inflamed about something, but not coming to fruition with it. So it's running throughout your whole entire body. Because if you think about it, those of you that are Reiki, you'll get to a place, if you haven't yet, where you're running the way in, right? Up and down and around your body. And if you haven't gotten there yet in your training, you will. That way in, just imagine that energetic way in is running like a loop cycle, all of that negative energy around your body, right? So we want to counter that because that's where inflammation is. So that inflamed feeling that you have is not letting you, speak your mind. Yeah. So you're feeling inflamed. Okay.
Okay. Awesome.
Thank you. All right. Let's see. Devin says, why do I continue to dream about a past narcissistic relationship 10 years after it's over? So Devin, let me just go a little further on that if you don't mind. So part of that is the reason that we do that and we dream about somebody is because we've had a relationship with them in other lifetimes, right? And so they may show up in your dreams, and I have a talk on dreams, if you weren't in my dreams class, which goes into some of this. That person, and we're all experiencing this, right now, but that person that you have that intimate, intense relationship with will keep showing up in your dreams because they're showing up representing different timelines where you are both together, whether it's this lifetime or other aspects of you that are on other timelines still playing out where you didn't leave the relationship. And so you're alchemizing and healing those timelines by having that those dreams. So for you, I would say, and everybody can apply this to themselves as well, wherever you might be having something like that. But I would say when you're laying down at night, right? So you guys have heard me to say this before. So I ask first to slow the momentum of my thoughts so that I'm not carrying my day into my sleep time, because we're working in our sleep time. Okay, so we don't want to do that. We want to slow the momentum of our thoughts and go into sleep space. And then right after you say, I'm slowing the momentum of my thoughts so I can sleep, you say, I am canceling all soul contracts that are not in my best interest across all timelines, dimensions, space, and realities. Right? I'm canceling all soul contracts that are not in my highest alignment. Yep. See, as ascended masters, you can do all this. It's just, you have to know you could do all this, right? Yeah. So if you're wanting a different situation out of something, shift it, right? It's how we shift illness too. I didn't want the cancer. I didn't want to think about my life with cancer. I wasn't going to be the survivor. I wasn't going to tell 10,000 people. I didn't want sympathy. I didn't tell anyone at my job except my boss, and I swore him to secrecy, and I still went in and did my job every day, and I wasn't going to be a survivor, and I wasn't going to be having a pity party, and I didn't want any of that. Right? Because I was not owning cancer. I'm like, you're leaving my body, and that is the end of that. And I'm not dealing with this. So I think that's really important for you guys to be aware that, yeah, everything is showing up as a way for you to participate in the experience of being you. That's why we're here. The first thing we talked about was why we incarnated in the physical body. It's so that you could have the experience and the awareness of being you, not somebody else, not to what somebody else wants you to be, not to what somebody else wants you to do, that you could be you and have the experience of being you. So when you start to realize that and you start to see that, you will start taking your power back. When you start taking your power back, and you recognize that you came here to work through whatever you, your soul, your higher self needed to work through, experience, learn, participate in, the rest is golden. But you have to recognize that first. And that's where the work is. Anybody have any other questions? No? Nobody has anything? Now's your chance. No? Okay. The energies, like I said, are moving super duper fast, right? And we are in a constant state of shifting every day. So don't get too caught up with all of the stuff. Most of you see, I don't really post too much anymore about the gateways, not much. I know people still like to see that stuff, but you know, from a higher perspective, which I won't go into here too much because we'll have to start talking about quantum energy, and I you know, that's a little another talk, another time. But from the higher perspective of that, you, every one of us, all of us, have those gateways in your physical body, right? So in other words, when I said in the beginning of this talk that the sun is a projector and the earth is a movie screen, and your reality is being filtered through the sun as a projector, and you're seeing your movie playing out in front of you on Gaia, right? That's how this is working, because that's the reality in this, what is a holographic reality. So when you are experiencing the universe at night and looking up at the stars, all of that, all of this is really inside of you, is inside of your physical form. It's just that your perception of your experiences is outside because of how the sun interacts with Gaia for our experience. Joanne, did you have something you wanted to say?
Question. Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
You're a little garbled. Go ahead. Okay.
In the soul contract canceling that you were just talking about,
can you do me a favor and try and hold your phone still, because I don't know where you are, but it's breaking up.
Can you hear me now?
All right, try it.
When you were talking about soul contracts?
When I was talking about what?
The soul contract?
Okay.
When you say to yourself that you want to cancel a soul contract with an individual or situation, does that mean that that person, that situation is out of your life, or that the karmic lesson is no longer in place?
So, you know what? It depends on the soul contract. Because in some of these instances with those karmic relationships, like the narcissist empath type of relationship, I will get to the questions, I promise, guys. Like in the narcissist empath relationship, you know, that relationship sometimes requires the two people to tear apart and then come back together, still not working, tear apart, come back together, still not working, tear apart, come back together. And then there's some kind of reasonable interaction with them, but then they'll probably go apart again. That's really all soul advancement. It's for the purpose of the soul advancement. So there is no one answer to that, because it depends on what the soul contract is with those two people.
Thank you.
But I'm going to just say this from the perspective of me being me, okay? That if there is someone that is in a relationship where it is a narcissist empathic relationship, in my experience and my knowledge from my higher realms, it does not mean that you are meant to stay in that relationship with that narcissistic individual. Okay? That is my understanding. It is for the purpose, those relationships are for the purpose of soul growth. Pushing you into loving you more. So the narcissist relationship is about you needing to love you more. They are showing you where you do not love yourself enough, because if you loved yourself more, you wouldn't be with them.
It's a member of the family. That's why it's difficult.
Right. Listen, I get it. Family members can be difficult. But again, you know, it's presenting as that way. Once you see the contract and you understand what the contract is, and we can take this offline in your session when I see you. But right. If you understand what the contract is, you're already 10 steps forward in negating that contract. Do you understand? Yeah, so do that technique at night with healing that contract.
Thank you, Maria.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay. All right, so let me just go to the questions over here. So Bobby, I'm going to just unmute you. This way you could just ask your question. Rather talk. Come on, unmute. There, up. There we go.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hi. So I know we talked about this one other time, but you said you would explain it. But since we're on all this other stuff, so is weight considered an illness as in the other realm? And how do you get out of the frequency, which you said it was a frequency?
You're talking about physical body weight?
Yes.
So that's also a contract, right? So the soul has contracted in the physical form to hold that weight. Because there is a need for the individual to fully come back into themselves and really come into loving themselves, right? And so when we are talking about frequency within the physical body and the weight, it requires us getting to that frequency where that ideal body type is in our perception, right? So in other words, if we have some weight on us, that is distortion in our physical field, right? That's the lower dense energy, that is the weight, right? And I will use myself as an example. Hopefully this will make sense to you. So when I was told I had cancer, I was about 90 pounds overweight. And the first thing I did in my head was see myself thinner. But I knew that that was not what was going to be able to get me to that visual that I had and see my body whole. So what it really meant was that I needed to, one, see my body whole in its thinner likeness. That was one, right? Because now I'm setting the intention. I'm setting the visual to manifest that. And at the same time, what I was doing was I was taking 5-pound increments because mentally that's all I could work with. And so I was looking at that 5 pounds. That 5 pounds was at a very unattainable height, right? It held a very high vibration because it was 5 pounds that I had to lose. So it held a high vibration and I had to bring my frequency up. So I had to shift from lack of deserving, unworthiness, shame, guilt, to one of deserving, worthiness, deservedness, you know, all of the stuff that I saw in that, right? And raise my vibration. It's the same thing with people who have issues with money and lack, right? Abundance issues. It's because they see money in a high frequency. They see money is in such a high frequency that they don't know how to get to that high frequency because money is everything in the world to them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but I have questions upon questions which would go into hours. So we'll speak on the phone, I guess.
Yeah.
I've been heavy my whole life.
Right, because you came in with that contract.
Right.
So that contract is no longer serving you. So if you do that exercise at night and start to say, hey, I see the contract. I'm really buying into self-love now, and I don't need this contract anymore because this contract has gotten me to this point in my life right here, right now. And I'm already ready to move beyond it because I've stepped into a new me. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but who's to say what is the right weight in humans? Everybody's different. Like, I'm not saying this, I'm just saying, like, in general.
Well, now you're, like, out in left field, right?
Yeah, I'm a little confused.
So let me just play with you for 1 second since you put that out there. That would be a self-sabotaging question.
Okay.
You see that?
Not really.
Okay. So that question then counteracts everything that I just said so that the mind can say, well, maybe I am at my right weight. So we're just going to stay here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because then the ego gets involved and the ego's like, don't listen to her, right? It's the whole frequency thing. I could take this offline with you, but what happens is in that question going, Well, what if you are at your right weight, right? That's the ego coming in with self-sabotage, right? Because the higher self knows you wouldn't ask that question if that wasn't something that was important to you. Right. And then the ego comes in and goes, well, we're at the right way. Just don't worry about it, right? We're probably there, right? That's the play back and forth between the ego and the higher self.
But isn't that the same thing as saying, like, you have to love yourself and accept yourself for who you are fully, which I do.
Yeah.
And yeah, I have other issues that I'm working on, which you know about. Uh-huh. But like, it plays with your mind, because it's like, love yourself, accept yourself for who you are, and not listen to anybody else's da 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 da. And then it's right. Like, you think like everyone is always judging and looking and like, how come you are heavy, or how come this, or how come that? So it makes you think like, I'm not the way they want me to be.
Yes, because what you're doing is you're battling the ego and the higher self in that moment, right? Mm-hmm. So you're battling out between the ego and the higher self, and every single thing that you just said pushes you right back to self-love. So yeah, you love yourself and you are good to yourself and love yourself a lot, but in the areas where you give to other people and you suffer in some way, even if it's a teensy little bit,
yep,
you just stepped out of self-love. So if you give somebody your last $5 and they were supposed to go pay their bill and instead they bought alcohol, you're in lack. Because you gave your last $5 thinking that it was going to be of service, right? When you really needed that $5 yourself to pay your bill.
So isn't that free will of them, because they went and bought what they weren't supposed to?
It is, but you should have kept that $5 knowing you needed to pay your bill.
Got it.
Does that make sense?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So that's what we're talking. That's what we're talking about here. Everything is funneling back to you. It's all about us. We, right? Me, you, all of us. We need to be our biggest advocate. Not go outside of ourselves. If we're going to do something that's going to create lack for us, don't do it. That's the game of the ego and the higher self. Maybe that should be another talk.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see.
Thanks.
Okay, Yasmin. I know she probably left already. Love you. If you didn't go, I will talk to you. Erica is asking, can you recommend some resources on dreaming, healing through dreaming? No, because you are your resource. Sorry, guys. You are your resource. Too funny. And is this cool? We spoke about skin ailments. I didn't note down what it meant. Can you please remind? I'm going to put you on. Hold on 1 second as I unmute you. Why is my unmute not working? Can you unmute yourself? Oh, there you go. Okay.
Okay. So yeah, earlier we spoke about what it means when somebody's having some problem with skin, right?
Mm-hmm. It's root chakra. Skin is root chakra.
Which one?
Root chakra. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep. And as I said before, root and heart chakra, married, always go together. Usually it's because of somebody else. Root chakra is out of balance. There's some emotional connection there taking place. Okay. Anything else on that? No?
No, that's all. Thank you.
Okay. All right. I think that was it. Pretty much done. Anybody else before we go have any other questions? I know we went off topic a couple of times, but anybody else, now is your chance if you have a question. No? Everybody's good? I love it. All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you for participating. Hopefully some of this stuff resonated with you guys. And you'll use the tools, and then let me know how you are making out with them. Keep me posted. All right. And I will connect with you again soon.
Maybe. Thank you, Maria.
All right, you guys. You can all unmute if you want to say goodnight.
Night, everybody.
Good night. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Night, thank you so much.
Night.